In recent years, technology has wowed us with a broad spectrum of amazing personal tools. In real time, we're able to talk with and even see loved ones from around the world. And anyone with a mobile device can access instant information with a simple voice command. But with all the remarkable gadgetry, technology has a downside. And one of those temptations is the sin of idleness. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that laziness is not a victimless crime. He titled today's message, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through. We begin with prayer.
Lord, if we live to be 100, we will never be able to exhaust our praises for your grace. You've come to our rescue and brought us eternal life, and it seems as though you do that every day. You rescue us from stupid things we say and foolish things we do and wicked things we think and ugly things we suggest. How valuable is your grace. How wonderful, how marvelous. But you see us as we are, and you never lose sight of making us into what we long to be, even though we fight you every step of the way. You know the value of pain, and we run from it. And yet pain reduces us to dependence, and in dependence we're humbled, and in humility we listen and we learn. We want our own way, and so we push for it, and it seems like every time we turn around we get our own way and we're miserable, having made a mess of things in the process. And in grace you forgive us, wretches though we are. Thank you, dear God, for forgiving us. We lose, and because we're so competitive, we can't stand the loss of losing, not realizing we learn far more when we lose than when we win. And in your grace, you come alongside, and you show us that. And you give us the grace to accept loss. Some sit in this place today having lost someone who has meant the world to them. It's all they can do to get past it. And you and your grace come alongside, and you give us strength. We come before you, our Father, with more needs than time allows us to list. We find ourselves in a new year, and yet we bring the old self with us. And all the things that were a part of our previous year, apart from your help and your grace, will repeat again as we move into the new year. We'd like that to stop. We'd like you to help us. Cease and desist areas that are offensive, unhealthy, disobedient, and unwise. Help each one of us. We are all culpable, and therefore we are all equally in need of the truth, which alone can set us free from things that have held us captive long enough. Speak through your word this day and in the days to come, as we look deeply within and acknowledge what is there, rather than wishing it were not. Speak today, our Father, through your word, through times of quietness, through moments of self-appraisal, and may we as a result be better people, even this week, because we have allowed ourselves to be examined by your Spirit. Do a work that not even a surgeon can do with a scalpel, as your word is able to cut down deep into the soul and spirit and bring about an awareness and ultimately a change. Finally, our Father, we want you to know how grateful we are for the one who paid it all on our behalf, even Jesus. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And apart from him, we are awash, adrift, in the midst of a culture that is the same. Redirect our steps. Give us discipline and determination. Begin with hope and a realization that change can come through the one who paid it all for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through.
As we read here, God is engaged in our time. Maybe you never thought of that. Maybe you thought time was all yours and God has nothing to do with it. He has everything to do with it. Our times are in his hands. In fact, that's why the chapter begins in Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there is a season, a time, for every activity under heaven. And down in verse 9, what do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Why is time so valuable? Number one, because it's so rare. So rare. Spend it wisely. Don't waste it. Spent once, never to be used again. Which brings up the second. It's irretrievable. We have instant replays in ball games because on video, you can reverse and go again. You can reverse and go again. You can see it again. There's no such thing in time. It's irretrievable. Done once, it's done. Here's a third reason it's important. It travels along with us every day, but it has eternity wrapped around it. Few things are true like that in our lives. Verse 11, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. You know what that says? In his plan, there are times when things are appropriate and other times they're not. There are times that it's right to say something, and there are times it's better to say nothing. Verse 12, he goes on to say, so I've concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. People should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. I've heard that criticized. That's great counsel. How seldom I find people really happy in the fruits of their labor. Part of the reason is we never got it done. I would like us to spend the rest of our time thinking very practically. So let me go there first before I take you to Ephesians 5. This year, you were given time in daily doses, which works out into hours, which works down into minutes and even seconds, which means this is the perfect time for you to hear these things well. The thief of time, procrastination, exists to steal your incentive, to take away your motivation. You'll hear something like this, and you'll be on the edge of your seat with excitement, thinking, I'm going to get at that. But you don't. Procrastination wins the day once again. Here's one for you to deal with. Mending a relational fence. You track me? Some of you have managed to hurt someone else's feelings. You know you've done it. but you're not woman enough or man enough to face it. Because you are many things, unsure how it will turn out, you might make things worse. You're now hearing excuses from procrastination. You might make things worse. The person won't come to terms with it. It'll be more difficult after you talk about it than if you just leave it alone. Leave well enough. It isn't well enough. So maybe this is the year for you, or the month, could I say it, the week, for you to make that right with another person. Don't put that off. You know why? Because it is an emotional anchor that you keep dragging. It keeps getting snagged on the bottom of the lake. It keeps holding you back. It's draining your energy. Another personal illustration. A gentleman in our church said to me a number of months ago, we were alone and no one else was near. He said to me, Chuck, I'd like to ask you something, and it's pretty serious. I said, okay. Have I offended you? He asked. I was taken back. I've never once been offended by this man, and I was quick to say, why no? Why have I given the impression? He said, yeah, as a matter of fact, when I'm with you, you seem distant. You know, let me stop here and say, that took courage, and I admire that. Even though I hadn't in any way been offended, my actions were offending him. And he was man enough to say to me in a private place, I'd like to just get that cleared up if there's something I've said or done. I said, no, please believe me. And now when I see him, I'm making a point. Hey, how are you? And I don't want to be silly about it, but I want to assure him I don't mean to. But see, you can give an impression. Now, this is a great time for you to deal with whatever may have happened that caused the communication lines to fall. You cannot make the other person do what they should do. You can only deal with yourself. And I loved it that the man dealt with it by saying to me, is there something between us? There is not. It reminded me, by the way, that there was something in my life that I needed to clear up with someone else. And I have since done that. And I feel so much better for having done it. And when you do it, you think, why did I put that off so long? Because relational offenses may seem difficult to repair. Sometimes they are, admittedly. Usually they're not. We think it's going to be harder or worse or more difficult than we expected. Now that I have said all of these things, I'm ready to mention the third one. Your weight. Okay, now I've said it. Let's think about your weight. How long do you plan to stay fat? Now, I don't have any one of you in mind. The reason I can address it is because I fight it constantly. I am currently a little overweight, and I've been very overweight. And you have been gracious enough to listen to me when I was really heavy. And now that I'm working on it, and I'll admit it to you, it's a task. And some of you are going to do it one of these years. And I want to help you with some very practical things, because it isn't healthy. I know one of my excuses was, I think when I get to heaven, Jesus will be fat. And so that'll keep me from having to work on it. But Cynthia says to me, that's heresy, so don't start thinking like that. So don't go there. It won't work. Let me see if I can help. You know what you ought to weigh. If you don't, your doctor will help you. And in doing so, you know what it'll take to get you there, okay? It's not going to be easy, because you've got to break the habit of eating more than you should eat and not exercising, which brings up another subject that's convicting for me. Right next to my study is our exercise room. We have weights. We have leg pushes, I don't know what to call them. We have, you can tell I'm not in there very much. We have, we have dumbbells, not as big as the dumbbell sitting at my desk, but they've got dumbbells in there. And we got treadmill. And so I decided, that's ridiculous to pay all that money to put that in there and have it just collect dust. And so I'm using it more now. I'm using the treadmill, and I don't enjoy it. I don't look forward to it. Some people go, oh boy, I get to get on the treadmill. That's not me. I'm not one of those people that does. In fact, I'm in there doing the leg lifts and all that stuff, and I decide, well, I'm gonna start doing curls. I read that word curls somewhere. So you grab the thing and you're gonna build up your bicep. I thought, I started 50 pounds. Well, not able to get the dumbbell off the floor, I decided, well, maybe I'll do 20. That'll work. Oh, so I gave up 20. Maybe I could start with a matchbox and go from there and lift up. What am I saying? Stop. You're not going to lose 26 pounds the first month. You're not going to start lifting weights massively or running 20 miles. You'll do it. You'll do well to walk a half mile. Walk a half mile. A pound, this is going to show you the extent of my mathematics. If you lose a pound a week, that's over 50 pounds a year. I was so pleased with myself when I realized I could figure that out, that you can lose 52 pounds in a year if you just do one a day. Oh, I'm sorry, one. It's one a week. That's it. It's one a week. You get the point. Go at it realistically. You do need to. You see, obesity is one of the acceptable sins among Christian people. I mean, if I brought a bottle of beer here at the pulpit and set it down and took a few swigs during my message, which reminds me of a joke that I'm not going to tell you because it is a very funny line at the end, but anyway, that would be so offensive, but I can show up 50, 60 pounds overweight, and you'll just look right past it. And nice of you to do that, but I got no business doing that. All of this to say, this is how practical it is. If it's got eternity written in it, and if I'm to give account for the way I handle and treat my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I need to stop laughing about it. And I know all the jokes about being too fat. Virtually every Sunday, we go to a place where they serve a buffet. And I think, well, I've let all of this food go to waste. Man, I mean, they got 5 different meat dishes. Well, I'll try that, and I'll try this one, I'll try that one. You can even go in there and get prime rib and get breakfast and all that goes with that. No, you just need one dish. It's really all you need. It's not that we eat the wrong thing, most likely, it's that we eat too much of even the good things. So think about it. You and I are now on the same level. We all fight it. Trust me. There isn't a day that passes that I'm not aware of it in my life. We have charts. We have charts of previous weeks and months and years where I can go back and see what I weighed then and what I weigh now. Every day. I weigh. It's one of the secrets, weighing every day. And I can check, because I'm convinced at times scales lie. And I talk to them, but they don't respond. And so I hate it when I get on it and it goes clunk in the wrong direction. And I think, okay, I know what happened. That was that Mexican food I had last night and had that midnight snack. And I also had that box of Girl Scout cookies. That lemon is the best, by the way, I can tell you that. And on and on and on. You got the point. Let me give you 3 simple but strong warnings, okay? As if these haven't been. Look at Ephesians 5. You're so kind to listen to me as I talk about these things. I think they're important, and I think procrastination is an enemy, and I think you'll be happier when you deal with things you've been putting off. That's the only reason I address it. Plus, I can defend it in the scriptures. And with that in mind, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Promise I won't mention, well, I may, but I won't hammer away at it. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 at three very powerful commands. Having seen what we did in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to look at Ephesians 5. This is a chapter written regarding our everyday conduct. In fact, it ends on a subject that's addressed to the wives and even to the husbands and then later on to others. But we won't go there. Right now we're looking at the center part where the writer Paul is asking us to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That's really what verse 10 is saying. Think about this year and think about the goal. This year, Lord, I want to please you in what I do. He will love you no matter what. It will not affect his love for you in any way. But his spirit is working in your heart to convict you of things that you need to give attention to, which is why I mentioned them. In fact, he gets specific in verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. By the way, that's a command we frequently disobey. Their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, Christ will give you light. Now, it's in that context, verse 15 steps in. Here are the commands. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. It's a negative command. It begins from the Greek, look accurately how you walk. Isn't that helpful? Self-examination is the best kind of examination because I know myself. And if I don't, because I'm married, I have a wife who knows me, sometimes knows parts of me better than myself. I have a physician who never lies to me, tells me the truth. Otherwise, it's called malpractice. Isn't that interesting? But his telling me the truth hurts because he tells me what I often don't want to face, don't want to hear. It says here, look accurately at how you walk. Take that personally, men and women. Look accurately at how you walk. Don't lie to yourself. Don't ignore reality. Don't act like something else is happening. Don't rationalize around it or procrastinate any longer. It even goes further. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. See the word wise? It's the Greek word sophia. The name sophia means wise or wisdom. Here's what the word means. Understanding that results in wise attitudes and conduct.
It's a convicting topic, and Chuck Swindoll has much more to say in his message called Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through. Chuck's conclusion will be featured on Thursday's edition of Insight for Living, and so make it a point to join us again tomorrow. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. I can't think of a more fitting subject than this one as we start the brand new year of 2020. And if you're prepared to take action and resist the temptation to put things off, let me recommend a helpful resource. Many in our listening family have found that Chuck's devotional book provides a practical way to stay on course. It's called Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. This easy-to-read book will keep your heart and mind focused on the things of God and motivate you to keep pressing forward. To purchase a copy, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/store. As we conclude today, we want to say thanks to the many friends who stepped forward and gave generously at year's end and the hundreds of new monthly givers. We call them monthly companions. By giving a portion each month, your contributions are providing a stability and predictability that truly helps Insight for Living accomplish its mission. Perhaps God has been prompting you to come on board as one of our monthly companions. Well, January is the perfect time to begin a new discipline of monthly giving, and we invite you to join the team. Signing up is simple when you call one of our friendly ministry representatives at 1-800-772-8888. As a monthly companion, you're doing for someone else what was once done for you. Thank you for providing a gift so others in your community and all across our country can benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching, just as you have. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 1st through 12th, 2020, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again Thursday when we'll continue the practical series from Chuck Swindoll called Things to Stop and Start on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Procrastinating and Start Following Through, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.